राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवार धारी गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावन चारे यमुना तीरावन चारे जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारे यमुना तीरावन चारे जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग नारायण नमस्कृत्य नरम चैव नरोत्तमम देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेष भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो कंटिन्यूइंग फ्रॉम चैप्टर 10 प्रहलाद द बेस्ट अमंग एक्सॉल्टेड डिवोटीज टेक्स्ट 5 ऑफ कैंटो 7 आशासानो न वैभृत्य स्वामिन आशिष्य आत्मने आत्मना स्वामिन्याशेष आत्मनः Naswami Bhrityayata Swamyam Ichhanyo Rati Chashishaha Ashasano Navai Bhritya Swaminyashisha Atmanaha Naswami Bhrityata Swamyam Ichhamyo Rati Chashishaha. Please chant. Ashasano na vaibhritya. Ashasanaha, a person who desires in exchange for service. Na, not. Why, indeed. Bhrityaha, a qualified servant or pure devotee of the Lord. Swamini, from the Master. Ashishaha, material benefit. Atmanaha, for personal sense gratification. Na, nor. Swami, the Master. Bhrityataha, from the servant. Swamyam, the prestigious position of being the Master. Ichchan, desiring. Yaha, any such master who Rati bestows, cha also Ashishaha, material profit. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Ki jai. A servant who desires material profits from his master is certainly not a qualified servant or pure devotee. Similarly, a master who bestows benedictions upon his servant because of a desire to maintain a prestigious position as a master is also not a pure master. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7:20, Kamais taiste hritagyanaha prapadyante anya devataha. Those whose minds are distorted by material desires surrender unto demigods. A demigod cannot become the master, for the real master is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The demigods, to keep their prestigious positions, bestow upon worshippers whatever benedictions the worshippers want. For example, once it was found that an asura took a benediction from Lord Shiva by which the asura would be able to kill someone simply by placing his hands on that person's head. Such benedictions are possible to receive from the demigods. If one worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, the Lord will never offer him such condemned benedictions. On the contrary, it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 88th chapter, verse 8, Yasyaham anugrunhami harishyetad dhanam shanai. If one is too materialistic, but at the same time wants to be a servant of the Supreme Lord, the Lord, because of his supreme compassion for the devotee, takes away all his material opulences and obliges him to be a pure devotee of the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj distinguishes between the pure devotee and the pure master. The Lord is the pure master, the supreme master, whereas an unalloyed devotee with no material motives is a pure servant. One who has materialistic motivations cannot become a servant, and one who unnecessarily bestows benediction upon his servant to keep his own prestigious position is not a real master. Om Agyanatmirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this verse actually has connection with the previous verse, yesterday's verse. So for those who were not here yesterday, Prahlad Maharaj is responding to Narsingadev, who after taking care of Prahlad's father and manifesting his Narsingadev form, he tells Prahlad, ask for any benefit, any blessings you want. Do you want money? You got it. Do you want a long, healthy life? You got it. Do you want to enjoy with angelic women for a long time? You got it. Do you want fancy palaces and gold reserves? You got it. Ask for whatever you want, you'll get it. And Prahlad Maharaj, he has an objection. He says, whoa, 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 no, no, no. I don't want all these things. Because these things have in them a tendency to make me forget you. One who is very opulent, one who is enjoying himself or herself very much, has a tendency to forget God. Most people remember God not in times of enjoyment, but in times of distress. So he says, oh, no, no, I don't want. I don't want. And then he speaks something, which was yesterday. He says that you're very, very kind and compassionate to your devotees. You will never do anything by which your devotee will fall into materialistic lifestyle. You'll always protect them. And as far as a devotee is concerned, who's a servant, he's not interested in any mercantile exchange with you. It's not I do some service for you, Krishna, so that you can fill my pockets nicely. Then it's a mercantile, it's an exchange. Nasai Savai Vanik. He's surely a merchant. Because a merchant is only thinking about exchange. I give some goods and I get profit back. So he says, a person who sees devotional service as a profit-making enterprise, he has it all distorted, he has it all mistaken. That's not how it should work. How it should work is, I offer you service, and that's it. If you offer me something in return, that's up to you, but I'm not looking for it. So yesterday, at the end of class, I was struggling to remember that statement by Jiva Goswami. And that statement is, Bhajaniya Parama Purusha Sukhamatra Sva Sukhatvam. The devotional service is meant for only one purpose, for the pleasure of Krishna. And if Krishna is happy, that itself is my happiness. Sva Sukhatvam. I don't want anything else in return. Now generally we see, in today's verse, Prahlad is saying, that there are servants, especially in old kingdoms, the bards, they would glorify the king. And the king would become very happy. He would take off his pearl necklace and throw it to one bard. So the other guy will say even more fancy stuff to the king. The king will take off his gold and diamond rings and throw it to the bard. This is cheating each other. The bard is simply trying to flatter the king because he's interested in the gold or the jewelry that he's going to get from the king. And so Prahlad is saying in today's verse, such a fellow is not a servant and such a master is not a master because their relationship is contaminated. It is contaminated by individual or personal benefit or profit. The servant does it because he wants something from it, and the master does it because he wants the prestigious position. So he says, no, he's not a bhritya, not a servant, and this guy is not a swami. There was once a person, a rich man, sitting in his veranda reading newspaper. Very rich guy. So a beggar came by and he said, oh, I found a rich man's house. Today might be a good earning. I can start the day nicely. And he said to the man sitting in the veranda, oh, when you sit like that in your veranda on this nice chair, you look like Lord Indra. So the man put his head out of the newspaper, turned and called his wife. Oh, such and such, Devi, please bring that new wristwatch and give it to him. Oh, this is really nice. He said, not only like are you like Indra, but you're so charitable, like Karna. You're very compassionate and charitable like Karna. So the man said, not only the wristwatch, bring him $100 also. Oh. And he said, your wife, she's like Shachi Devi, the wife of Indra. You're so fortunate to have such a wonderful wife. So the man said, also bring those gulab jamuns. So he was very happy. Gulab jamun, sweet. So he was waiting. The wife never came. So he was waiting and waiting. No one came. Neither the watch, nor the money, nor the gulabs. So he said, excuse me, sir. Yes, I'm waiting. Nothing came. So the man said, well, you said all these words to make me happy. So I returned the words to you to make you happy. There is nothing for us to exchange. You may go. So the whole world is on this basis that people flatter each other. The employee needs to flatter the boss. The servant needs to flatter the master. And this flattery is simply for one purpose. I want some material to benefit in return. You know the story, when I was young, we used to hear the emperor with no clothes story. There was an emperor. If I remember the details of the story right, there was an emperor. And all around him were people who would only flatter him. You're so amazing. You're so good looking. You're so strong. You're so kind. So someone had to teach the king that, come on, king, you need to be able to figure out that these people are only flattering you. So I may have the detail distorted, but somehow there was one guy who's supposed to be a very special tailor. And he said, I'll make a very special dress for the king. And he took all the measurements. And he said, I'll get you this very beautiful dress made. It is so special that only persons with those who are very dear to you, who are very close to you, they can see this dress, others cannot. He said, yes, yes. So he brought him, basically he brought nothing, but he gave it to him and the king thought he was wearing something. He was basically naked. And he told others, those who are very close to me, only they can see this dress. So all his ministers would tell him, nice, very nice clothes. And every day he would walk around the palace naked. And all his ministers would say, the diamonds are shining very nicely. The flow of the garment is very beautiful. And the king thought, oh, look at this. Only they can see, they're very close to me. One little guy, one little child or one man walked up to the king and said, why are you walking naked? And the king's illusion was shattered or something like that because all others were simply flattering him. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying, I'm not exchanging devotional service with you for the sake of, you know, I scratch your back, you scratch my back, and both of us are happy. No, there is something serious between us, and that is service. I'm serving you because it's a great privilege. I'm serving you because it's a great honor. And I'm serving you because this is what I exist for. And let's keep it at that. Let's not get into this whole exchange. You give me something back. If you do, that is your kindness, but I'm not looking for it. I'm not a vanik, a merchant. And a master, he's also not about how many people can serve me, and I need to maintain my status as a master, so I have to give all these benedictions just so that people say, oh, what a nice master. Oh, very nice master. He says, this is not the reason. So in the purport, Prabhupada refers to how demigods, they're obliged to giving certain benedictions because it keeps their position prestigious. And he refers to the story of Vrikasura. It's in the Krishna book. So there was one demon by the name Vrikasura, not Vritrasura, Vrikasura, who had a very special desire. He said, I'm tired of fighting with weapons. I want to be able to be as powerful that if I touch someone's head, their head should burst into 1,000 pieces. I'm going to pray to Lord Shiva for his blessings. So he sat down in meditation for a very, very long time. Lord Shiva did not come. Then he said, okay, I will oblige Lord Shiva. And he lit a fire. And he said that I will offer pieces of flesh from my body until Lord Shiva shows up. So every day he would cut a piece of flesh and put it in the fire. His own flesh. That means he was desperate for such a benediction. You know, we can hardly bear a cut on a finger. But he was cutting his own flesh off, chunks of flesh. Lord Shiva didn't come. He started cutting bigger chunks of flesh. Lord Shiva did not come. And he said, okay, I'm going to cut off my own head and put it there. And I don't know how he'll be alive to take the benediction. But anyway, he was about to cut off his head. And Lord Shiva came and said, why are you disturbing me? Today is Saturday. What do you want? So he said, no, I want this benediction. That if I touch someone's head, it should burst into pieces. Lord Shiva said, all right. So be it. If you get a benediction, you have to know if it works or not, right? As soon as you get a new gadget, the first thing you do is you turn it on to see if it works. So he told Lord Shiva, I want to touch your head and see if it works. And Lord Shiva said, oh, no. No, I want to try. So now Lord Shiva is fleeing and this demon is in hot pursuit. So they cross through a forest. And this guy who's running after Lord Shiva meets a little Brahmin boy. And the boy asks him, where are you running? He says, I'm after Lord Shiva. Because I want to test if the benediction he gave me actually works. Otherwise, you know, money back guarantee. I return it and I get back my money. I get my flesh, I guess. So the boy said, you know, Lord Shiva, sometimes he says things without thinking. It does not always work. Generally, you know, these kinds of things, they don't work. The product is not of good manufacturing. So in that sense, this may actually not even work. I know for sure. And the boy was so young, good-looking, charming. You know how children are very innocent and their innocence is very beguiling. Yeah? You tend to drop your guard with children. So he said, oh, really? He said, yeah. It doesn't matter. You touch anywhere, nothing will happen. In fact, you touch your own head, nothing will happen. He said, oh, really? And he touched his own head. Finished. And so Prabhupada's writing that sometimes the demigods, to maintain their position, have to offer such benedictions. Although it's very foolish benediction, but they have to offer it. But Krishna is not that type. He says the Lord will never offer him such condemned benediction. If a person comes to Krishna and says, please give me the power to destroy that person, Krishna will not give. In fact, he says, yasyaham anugrahami harishetad dhanam shanai. If a person has a particular type of material attachment that is blocking him or her from delivering pure service, Krishna will remove that block and ensure the person can give pure service. So, for all of us, we are aware of certain blocks and we are not aware of many blocks. On the path of self-realization, self-awareness is a very important stage. And that self-awareness basically means that we are enlightened to a certain degree to be able to see our own faults or our own limitations, which in the absence of light or enlightenment we cannot see. You know how many people in general, the people can see what our fault is, but we can't see. Sometimes I call it like spinach stuck in the teeth. When we smile, we think everything is fine and there's spinach hanging from our teeth. And someone has to tell us, there is spinach, oh. Or sometimes, whatever, you know, the cloth is not all right, or we're walking and there is something stuck to our clothes and only others can see, we cannot see. So anartha nivritti, that stage where a person becomes free of those limitations, those blocks that hinder free service. Not free like, you know, free in that sense also, free without any return, but free means free flowing. For anartha nivritti, for those blocks to be removed, there are two pieces before that need to be strong. And those are called sadhu sangha and bhajana kriya. Sadhu sangha means associating with the devotees. Associating does not just mean in the same room, although that also has power. But real association means hearing and inquiring from them and rendering service to them, especially to the spiritual master, because he removes that block. So sadhu sangha and then bhajana kriya. So the remedy, the remedy that the spiritual master gives is bhajan. Bhajan means chanting of the holy name, service to Krishna and the devotees, study of scripture, etc. The nine processes, they're all part of bhajana. Once bhajana can only be strong if there is proper sadhu sangha. If one doesn't have nice relationship with the guru, this bhajana kriya is not strong. It is only superficial. It is at best mechanical. One's going through the motions, but really nothing substantial. There's no traction. Traction is, I heard my spiritual master say many times, if you have a big vehicle and it is stuck in mud, it doesn't move. So if you hit the gas pedal, the wheels move fast, but the vehicle doesn't come out of the slush. What you have to do is put something under the wheel that gives friction, like a stone or a board. It'll come. When it snows here, you'll see cars get stuck and it doesn't go anywhere. So you have to put a board or stone that gives friction, so there is traction. So bhajana kriya's traction comes from sadhu sangha, good, healthy relationship with one's spiritual master. So that bhajana kriya will throw light on the blocks. And like we heard last night, just honestly looking at them is a very, very big start. In fact, that's all that is necessary. Ultimately, Krishna has to remove those blocks. And generally, those blocks are things that we are very attached to dearly. Either it is one's sense of security, one's sense of defense, or whatever it is that a person has put on as a mode of surviving in this world, when that has to be removed, then it's a little difficult. And generally people don't allow Krishna to remove that. They say, you can work on other things. Don't touch this one. It's tough for me. But that's exactly the block that's not allowing for nice service to happen. So it's said that anartha nivritti is supposedly the state where we're supposed to joyfully say to Krishna, please take this away from me. And one cannot say that until and unless there is proper sadhu sangha. Otherwise, we value those attachments higher than the relationship with Krishna. So naturally, when you care for something higher, something lower is easier to give up. It's not easy, it's easier. So where do we value the relationship with Krishna and Guru? That's the question that's right in front of our face at such points of difficulty or challenges. And so to value the relationship with Krishna higher than our own attachments is the whole meaning of devotional service. So a lot of people join or start process of bhakti without fully realizing or even going through the process of bhakti without fully realizing that at some point in time I will be challenged. As challenged as to what is dearer to me, my own sense of security or my relationship with Krishna. And for each person, it will manifest in a different way. So it's not like a cookie cutter, because bhakti is very individual in that sense. It's not like a cookie cutter way, oh, for some it is this and for some it's something else. It is different for each. And a person needs to check, oh, and somehow find the strength to say the relationship with Krishna is more valuable. But we have something to hold, someone to hold on to for saying that. Otherwise it's not possible. And if one doesn't say that, then one is in one sense stranded or stuck there. And one may be performing devotional service, all the activities, but there's no traction. And then without traction, then one feels frustrated. Or nothing's happening. And that's this point Prahlad Maharaj is making, that Prabhupada is talking in the purport. The Krishna is all about removing those blocks. And that is His mercy. And so we call out, please Krishna, help me. Help me remove those blocks. Some we are aware, some Krishna removes even before we become aware. But we have to allow Krishna to do so. This is how He is very loving and merciful. So, Ashisha is translated as material benediction. So, if there's any benediction that one seeks, then it is said that the only benediction is, please allow me or please help me solidify that relationship with Krishna and Guru. Because that's the only benediction. It's the association with the devotee. There's the same verse appears twice in Bhagavatam about the association of devotees. It says, Tulayama lavenapi. Tulayama means how can you compare or comparing. Tulayama lavenapi. Lava is 1/12th of a second. Na punar tulayama lavenapi na swargam na apunar bhavam. You cannot compare 1/12th of a second of association with a pure devotee, Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya, to going to heavenly planets or even becoming liberated. What to speak of kimuta shishaha, martyanam kimuta shishaha. What to compare for all the useless material benedictions that people ask for. So Krishna's heavy dose of mercy is that He gives us not 1/12th of a second of association, but hours and hours and days and years of association. So what's that value? And Prahlad Maharaj is speaking that that is of greater value for me. I want that. It's because He spoke about it previously. And now you're giving me material benedictions? No, I don't want it. I want devotional service, pure devotional service. That's the point here. Any questions, comments? I know. Yes, bro.
I was just going to add that the point that you made of at one point we become challenged, you know, we can expect that in the progress of our devotional service that Krishna is going to let us see very clearly, or at least clear enough those weaknesses, and we're going to be challenged. And it happens that even becoming aware of those things, we still cannot do anything about it unless you have very strong relationship with the spiritual master. That's the only hope, because it's such an ingrained thing. Those sort of anarthas that are the big time ones that are very, rooted, deep rooted in our heart. Those are very difficult, and to deal with those is an impossibility. It goes on and goes on and goes on. And the mercy and the dependence, the sense of dependence with the spiritual master, is really the only hope that one has. It's my, later realization.
Thank you. The tendency of the conditioned living entity in the material world is that at the point of crisis or the point of challenge, the living entity will take over and try to control the situation himself or herself. Because that's what we've been conditioned into thinking, that I'm here and I need to figure out what's best for me. Like he was saying last night, that our tendency is to somehow think that I have to rise above it, above all the challenges, on my own. And that's not the process of bhakti. That's not how it works. Our part is the acknowledgement of it, that I'm steeped somewhere low. And now, Krishna, please lift me up. So we notice that every person, they will allow someone else to do something to the point of where to the point up to the point after which they will take over their own life, or whatever they're working on. Beyond a point, that's it. And that's the, because the living entity in this world is, what is the Prabhupada's phrase, is struggle for survival. That struggle for survival is the one that is, and survival struggle is, I need to do it on my own, I have to figure it out. Either I figured it out or I'm figuring it out. But to give the reins in the hands of Krishna, that's a lot of trust. And the process of bhakti is to develop that trust. So even Draupadi, when Dushasana was disrobing her, it's not like as soon as he pulled her sari, she said, whatever. She fought back. And she was very strong. She held her sari, she somehow tried, and he was stronger. But she said that she even held the sari between her teeth, so that it doesn't come off while Dushasana is pulling it. At a point, then she realized, okay, this is not going to work. And what did she do? She let go of the sari. Instead of holding it, she let go of the sari and raised her arms, did not challenge it anymore. I challenge Dushasana anymore. So that step is the big step. That doesn't come easily. And that's why I said that when all those things are being ripped or pulled or even touched by Krishna, how ready are we to say, "Oh, Krishna, go right ahead"? It's the tough one. It only comes when there is nice sadhu sangha. Same point that you were saying.
The worst thing that can, that's very good, at least you have a hope when you become like Yogeshwar Prabhu was making the point last night also, that awareness is actually such an amazing symptom, it's something very good and very fortunate that when's he going to wear, and when's at least, you know, observing and coming to a point that, like you say, Draupadi came to a point that this is not going to work. It's not working. You're trying and trying. So that type of awareness is very healthy, and is a natural progress, you know, like that. The difficult part and the unfortunate part, and is something that it does happen. Mm-hmm. It does happen to many of us, is when we start to rationalize and sort of block the awareness and just rationalize that, you know, no, this is right. I'm in the right space. You know, I rationalize that what is happening is all right. Is when the rationalization comes, that's such a danger, you know.
There are two things. One is, we say to Krishna, please take care. And when the challenge comes, we almost unspokenly, we take care. It's our habit. We say, Krishna, you take care. On the conscious side, we say, please take care. On the subconscious level, we take charge. And another is, the big ones, the big challenges are waiting. So how to get prepared for the big challenges is, in the small challenges, we let go. It's a practice that small victories help us develop the strength for the big challenge. So on a day-to-day basis, there are small things that if we learn to say, okay, however Krishna wants it, I am willing to let go. Those small successes, they accrue, they add up. So we build that muscle power strength that when Krishna actually touches the big one, we say, okay, I'm used to this, I'm accustomed to this. I have allowed Krishna to intervene. So it's the small victories, the small successes on a day-to-day basis that will accrue. And Krishna will give us many opportunities on a daily basis to develop that on small things. It's a practice for the big thing. Whenever that big thing, or whatever that big thing is, and will come. It'll come for sure. It'll come for sure, because we're chanting Hare Krishna every day. So one way is to just stop chanting and say, that way it won't come. It will still come in a different way. Karmically it will come. But we chant Hare Krishna and say, my dear Krishna, please allow me to freely serve you without any blocks. Please help me. Oh, okay. Anything else? Chaitanya prayer.
I'm a little bit confused about material benediction.
A little bit confused.
Yes, okay. I'm a lot of confusion. So material benediction, there are some material benediction which can be used in service of Lord, and there we can material benediction which cannot be used in service of Lord. Just like an example of money. In Yukta Vairagya, like we can use the money for service in Krishna.
So but what like, is it? Give me a material benediction you cannot use in Krishna service.
For like association with heavenly women. So I was thinking how we can use it. I didn't find it. So, but here, Prahlad Maharaj is not accepting any material benediction. Why? That's my question. Means he could have used some material benediction for service of the Lord, but here Prahlad Maharaj is not accepting any material benediction. So it is just simply act of denial, or he wants something more higher.
Well, Prahlad Maharaj becomes the king. He takes over the throne of Hiranyakashipu. So it's not like he didn't get a material benediction. Anything is material when it has a tendency to make us forget Krishna. So that's all he's saying is, please give me that by which I will always remember you. And don't give me something that I have a tendency to forget, because I have a bad background here. My father is Hiranyakashipu. My uncle is Hiranyaksha. Both have Hiranya in their name, gold. They're gold diggers. So don't put me in a place where I will forget you. This is humility. So he's being, very humble about it. He becomes the king. He's still the king in Sutala planet. Of Bali Maharaj is in Sutala planet, but he's still the king there. For example, let's say a couple of things. Fire or electricity. Is fire and or electricity dangerous? Very dangerous. One can get burnt or get electrocuted. Because it is very dangerous, we don't say we don't want electricity or fire. We know how to work with it carefully. So because fire is dangerous, we don't say, oh, we're not going to cook anymore. Oh, I don't want to go near fire because... No, you learn how to work with fire in a way that it facilitates how to serve Krishna. Or a motor vehicle, which goes at high speeds. Well, I'm afraid to drive anywhere. One should be careful. So the point Prahlad Maharaj is speaking is, these material benedictions are such that they facilitate negligence or forgetfulness of you. So I'm not so much interested in those things, unless you can promise me that I will not forget you. So we know how to control fire to cook. We know how to control electricity, so there's light and heating and all of that. So the senses are compared to venomous serpents. If you read Mukundamala Stotra, he says King Kulashekara calls the senses as very poisonous serpents. I have been bitten again and again by these poisonous serpents. And Prabodhananda Saraswati says, dantra protkhayate, that the poisonous fangs are broken. Vishvam purna sukhayate. As long as sense gratification is there, this world is a place of misery. When sense gratification is not there, this place is a place of happiness. It's quite contrary to the conditioned thinking. So he is looking for Vishvam Purna Sukhayat. I want that place, I want to be in such a situation where I'm just happy to serve you. And that's the assurance he will get from Narsingadev. Like Priyavrata Maharaj, who said, well, I don't want to be the king. I'm happy on this mountaintop. But Lord Brahma, Manu, Narada Muni, they all came and said, no, you have to be the king. Okay, then please give me the benediction that I will not get affected by it. Yes, yes, don't worry. Or like we hear the pastime Prabhupada saying, pure devotee does not fall down. And then he's praying, please protect me from falling down. Is that all right? Okay, Sthira, Mataji, and then...
How do we know if we are holding on to the block or letting Krishna remove the block?
How do we know if I'm holding on to a particular block? Versus Krishna. Well, one is the same things repeat again and again. Wherever is that block, circumstances will repeat to identify that block. So that's one way. Krishna is indicating something because it's a pattern, it keeps coming again and again. Another holding is, said differently, that if we analyze our challenges, then although the dressing of that challenge looks different, at the core of it is the same challenge. Of course, for all of us, the same challenge in one sense is we're envious of Krishna. That's primordial. But the different patterns of things that show up. And how do we know Krishna is? One way is that we chant peacefully. One of the things I've heard from my spiritual master is, you want to know what your attachments are? So put your hand in your bead bag and you chant Hare Krishna, and as soon as you begin, wherever your mind goes, that's your attachment. Or as soon as you finish japa, you move your hand out of the bead bag and watch where the mind goes first. That's where your attachment is. Our, not yours. So those are ways of which we identify. Part of the problem is that we don't have that kind of awareness. And that awareness is lacking because the practice of turning on the light is not strong. Chanting Hare Krishna is not strong. Another way to find out what our attachment is, when we are chanting japa, notice where the mind is. It goes back to a particular or a set of topics for us. And that's where it stays and hovers around that subject matter. How do we know Krishna relieves it? It stops being an issue. And even if it comes, one can transcend it. Ah, it's not important. Mitch?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. This
point about material opulences make it harder for us to remember Krishna. What came to mind was a poem published in Back to Godhead, and I just wanted to share it. It's called God Wonders by Guru Das. Will you think of me when days are filled with sun and the nights are always fun? When excitement buzzes all around and the treasures of love seem safe and sound? When success lies in your grasp and your car runs fast? When flowers fill your home and poverty and despair are words unknown? Or when darkness descends and you have no friends? When your crops freeze before their season and your child dies for some unknown reason? When tears hit the ground and no one ventures a sound? When the curtains are drawn and the night may not make it to dawn? When life's last breath departs and that final beat leaves the heart? Will you think of me?
Nice one. So it's not that the material assets are necessarily blocks. But back to Chaitanya Priya's type of question, it is, according to Queen Kunti, Janma, Aishwarya, Shuta, Shri. These are the four categories of material opulences. Birth in a good family, good education, beauty, and opulence, money. So she says, Edamana Madha Puman. If these four, or any one of, or all four, maddens a person. Maddening is to think that I am the proprietor of these. So she says, Naiv Abhidhatum. Naiv arhati abhidhatum vai. One can certainly not approach you. Tvam akinchana gochara. Because you are the property of those who are materially impoverished. So it does not mean that to be a devotee of Krishna, you should be a beggar on the street. Can be. See, because then we say that even a beggar is proud of his penny. So it's the pride. Pride is the sense of proprietorship of those assets. These are mine. That causes a problem. So you see, Krishna had great devotees who were very, very rich. All the great kings. Ambarish Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, Yudhishthir Maharaj. The greatness of them was they never were holding on to that wealth or their asset thinking, it's mine. When it was there, it was used for Krishna. When it was not there, it didn't bother them at all. And this is why the Pandavas could live in the forest for 13 years and there had no problem. Because their happiness did not depend on those four things. Usually the material things have the bane or the curse in them that a person very quickly takes hold of them as proprietors. It's mine. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.